Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're in our seventh lesson on heaven, our real home. It will take us up to the holiday season, up to Christmas time. Basically plan to kind of finish up the year on Wednesday nights doing this. We will have three times later this year that we will not have Wednesday night activities. We never do the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And this year, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve both fall on a Thursday, and we're going to have services and activities for both of those, so therefore we will not have the Wednesday night Bible study. So we'll mention those more as we get closer. But we are in our seventh lesson on heaven, our real home. And tonight, the title is, What Will We Remember? We've talked about a lot of different things about heaven, about God's dwelling there and what that means, how His presence, that is the place of His manifest presence. And heaven will actually come to earth when history is done here on earth and God recreates the earth and the heavens. We've talked a lot about what we will be doing in heaven. And we realize that it's not just worshiping God, but even worshiping God is a broader topic than we often think, because we sometimes think that worshiping God just means, you know, verbal expressions of praise, singing, that kind of thing. But anything that brings glory to God is worship. So anything that we can imagine doing or being involved in that brings glory to God is a possibility for heaven. But we also talked about how the Bible speaks specifically about us having fellowship in heaven, not only fellowship with God and Jesus, but with others that we read about in the Bible, and perhaps other people we've read about through history, but in addition to that, loved ones who have gone on before, who will come along after us. We will have fellowship with them throughout eternity. We talked about how God has responsibilities for us, that even though it's work, it will be joyful work. It will be fulfilling work. And how we handle what God has given us to do here will determine what we'll be doing there. So it's significantly important what we do with what God has given to us here. And we'll talk more about that before we get to the end of the series. And that God is a God of fun. Satan has lied to us and to the world to say that you can't have fun unless sin's involved. But there is tremendous fun and joy and pleasure in God's presence. And that we'll have fun in heaven. Not in any sinful way, because sin will not be there, and in every way in which it will bring glory to God. But we know God has a sense of humor. Just look around. And so anyway, those are all things that we've talked about. And we're going to be talking about a number of things going forward. Tonight, I said we're talking about what will we remember. That's part of a bigger topic, and that is, what will we know in heaven? What will we remember? What will we know? What will we see? Will we be able to see what's going on the earth? Will we learn? Or will we already know everything once we get there? We're going to hit those topics a little bit more next week. But tonight, it's what will we remember? Now, let's do a little exercise, okay? Think, but not for too long, about negative things that have happened to you in life. Now, don't dwell, don't meditate, but think about some negative things, you know? Maybe that sickness, that car accident, that death of a loved one that happened way too soon, way too young. You know, negative things. Okay, now stop that. Okay, we don't want to spend too much time there. But think now of the most positive, wonderful things that have happened to you in your life. All right? Let's just take a couple of examples so we can kind of block out the negative ones. I know I had you do that. There's a reason. But what are some of the most wonderful things that have happened to you in life? Lisa?
I met Earl.
You met Earl. All right. You know, when I was there, I met and married my best friend, and we still are, you know. Susan.
My salvation.
Your salvation. Yeah, John. The birth of a child. All right. Anybody else have one to throw out there?
Grandchildren.
Yep. All those are good. Ray. Great grandchildren. Great, great grandchildren. All right. You know, when we get to heaven, if Jesus tarries, we're going to have great, 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 great. Great, great grandchildren. All these wonderful things. Now the question is, when we get to heaven, will we remember any of that? Both on the negative side and on the positive side. When we get to heaven, will we remember the negative things of this life? And if we do, will that somehow dim the joy and the glory of heaven? And since that might be the case, will we forget all the negative? Will we remember the positive things? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight, we're basically just going to answer two questions. When we get to heaven, will we remember anything about this earth? And then if we say yes, okay, then will we remember everything, or will our memory be limited? Okay, so, and we want to do that from a biblical perspective. So the first question we're going to deal with is, will we remember anything? Will we remember anything? I want to read a quote. As you know, I'm using Randy Alcorn and some of his materials and books as some of the resources I use for this series. He wrote this, and actually he didn't write this, he's recording this. This is a letter that was written to him. He writes a lot about heaven and eternity and what it's going to be like. And someone wrote this letter to him, and this letter said, "When I was 7, a teacher at my Christian school told me that when I got to heaven, I wouldn't know anyone or anything from earth. I was terrified of dying. I was never told any different by anyone else." So this, I think it was a lady. She had been taught as a child that when she went to heaven, she wouldn't remember anything. She wouldn't remember anybody. She wouldn't remember anything from earth. Basically, would just be a new experience, totally and completely new experience. And it terrified her. And it wasn't until later in life that she came to believe perhaps differently. Why? Why would someone think, and maybe you do, maybe you've been taught this, maybe you've heard this, why would someone think that our memories would be erased in heaven? What would lead to that idea? Any thoughts? Okay, because heaven's supposed to be a place to build on, a place of joy, a place of positive. You know, God's going to wipe away every tear, no sorrow, no pain, all that kind of stuff. So how could that be true if we remember that at least the negative stuff, right? Okay, so that's a good thought. Why else might people think, Barbara? That is true. When we get to heaven, we'll think about heavenly things. When we're on earth, we'll be thinking about earthly things. But as we've already studied, God created the earth perfect, and when we get past history as it's been, he's going to recreate the earth, basically make it back the way it was supposed to be. So even in heaven, we'll still be involved in earthly things, but the new earth, earth the way it was originally created, earth the way it's intended to be. So sometimes we have this, I don't believe it's divinely inspired, but we have this division between earthly and heavenly. There is a division there. And when we think of earthly as being sinful, there definitely needs to be a division. But we've got to realize not everything that is earthly or physical is sinful, because God created it to be good and pure. It was twisted by sin. So we want to make sure we don't kind of get this unbiblical division between the physical and the spiritual and the earthly and the heavenly and all that kind of thing. When you hear the Bible talk about we need to leave earthly things behind, we need to focus on heavenly things rather than earthly things, the earthly things it's talking about is sinful things, not just the fact that it's physical and it's of this world. Okay? I saw a hand over here. Tim. That's a good question. In fact, it's going to come up later in the lesson. At least for a certain period of time, we're going to remember some things, because it says we're going to be judged by our works. If we think that once we die and go to heaven, we don't remember anything from this life, and we stand before God, God says, okay, it's time to judge you for your works, and he starts listing what we did. It's like, I don't remember any of that. Okay, so, good point, good point. Well, let's jump into the lesson here, because we're going to deal with that along with other things, and we're going to see what the Bible says about what we will remember, and it'll answer some questions, but some questions we won't know till we get there. All right? Will we remember anything? The question, why would someone think that our memories would be erased in heaven? I got two things here. There may be more, but just two we'll deal with tonight. Number one, to rid ourselves of anything that would cause sorrow, tears, or pain. That goes back to what Pearl said. You know, the Bible talks about how heaven's going to be, and sorrow, tears, pain, that's not supposed to be a part of heaven. In fact, in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Now notice, this verse does not say specifically that memories will pass away. Neither does it say that we will have memories. I'm just saying this verse cannot be used either way as far as the memory thing, but the fact that in heaven there will be no more mourning, crying, or pain anymore might would lead us to believe, well then there's certain things I won't remember. But just to give you something to think about, we'll dig deeper in it in just a minute. Aren't there things in the past, in your past, that have brought pain, that have been difficult, that remembering them now, it's not that big a deal? In fact, in some ways, we're going to see this before we get to the end, there are things in our past that have brought pain and that were difficult that actually might bring joy right now. We'll come back to that. But this is one reason why some would think maybe we're going to forget some things. Maybe God will wipe this from our minds so that we could rid ourselves of anything that would cause sorrow, tears, or pain. The second one is to explain a verse like Isaiah 65:17. And there may be others, but this is a classic one. Isaiah 65:17 says, "For behold," this is God speaking, "for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." So we know he's talking about eternity. "I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Now, there's one that makes it sound like everything that's come before will be erased from our memories. But is that what it's saying? That's what we want to dig into. It makes it sound like just that one verse taken all by itself, and that's the danger. Don't ever take one verse all by itself. That's what's called taking a verse out of context. You always study passages in context. A particular verse in the context of all the verses around it. And that particular passage and that particular book, that particular author, all right, that God used to write it. And in the context of the whole Bible. So we do have this one verse, Isaiah 65:17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Now, one way to deal with this, if it's verified by context, and we'll look at the context in a minute, that it could mean that, okay, God's going to wipe everything from our minds and we won't remember anything about this life. That's one way to look at it. And that's why some people believe that's true. Is there any other way to deal with this? I mean, how do we deal with this verse if we don't say, well, God's just going to wipe our memories? Find out what those former things are that God's talking about. Because it might not be everything, right? Yeah, it may not be everything. And that's exactly it, see? Just like any other difficult to understand scripture, we need to look at the context and compare it with other similar scriptures. Now, this is a great principles to learn for everything, not just this one verse. When you come across a difficult to understand passage, look at it in context and then compare it with other verses. When I teach my college level classes, one of the principles is if you've got a verse you have a hard time understanding, compare it to other verses that are on the same topic, but they're easier to understand. Because God doesn't contradict himself. All right? And the easier to understand passages on the same topic will give insight into the ones that are harder to understand. So let's look at the context first. Your first bullet point there is context. Well, a good context would be the verse right before it. Isaiah 65:16. In Isaiah 65:16, God says, "Because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Just looking at that particular context, Brother French's question, what are the former things he's talking about? He's talking about former troubles. He didn't mention former good things. He's talking about former troubles. But then we also still deal with the fact that, does this mean that literally they will be wiped from our memories, or could it possibly mean something else? And again, we can dig into this and get some insight. Let me ask you this question. Who is the one that's doing the forgetting in this passage? God is. I mean, he doesn't even say that we're going to forget it. He says God is. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God ever forget anything? But the Bible says he does. Right? It says that he does. I mean, Jeremiah 31:34, it says, "I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more." Doesn't that tell us that God totally blocks it out of his mind as if it never existed? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are saying no. What does that mean, Rupert? You're the one that's saying no so loud and you're shaking your head. What does it mean when it says that God forgets our sins, or he forgets our troubles and he will remember them no more? Because of his grace, he no longer holds it to our account. Exactly. But I don't know about you, but I was taught sometimes growing up that, you know, when God forgives your sins, he doesn't remember them anymore. In the sense that he couldn't, you know, I've even had preachers and evangelists say, you know, if you go to God and say, God, forgive me for this, and you already asked him, he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. But understand that if that was true, God would not be God. Because one of the characteristics, one of the attributes of God is that he is omniscient. He knows all. And just think it through logically. If God really did forgiven sin, every time he'd read the Bible, which he inspired, he'd be reading along saying, David committed adultery? I don't remember that. I mean, it sounds absurd, right? But I mean, it just shows that that can't be what it means when it says that God forgets our sin. But Rupert has it exactly right. When you read it in context, when you read about this in the Bible, it means that, well, on your notes, you had to put it this way. This doesn't suggest a lack of memory. God is omniscient. This means that God will choose not to call to mind or hold against us our past sins. God forgets our sins in the sense that once we ask him to forgive us and he does, he will not hold us against it. Has anybody ever done anything to hurt you, harm you, whatever, and they brought it up again? They've already asked you to forgive them. They've already tried to work it out. And they just bring it up again and you said something like, forget it, I have. Yeah? And if you've ever hurt somebody else, hopefully when you apologized and it was all over and you brought it up again, they said, you know, just forget it, I have. Did they literally forget it? No. They're basically saying, listen, it doesn't mean anything anymore. To the best of our ability. Now, God's God. When he says it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean anything. All right? He's no longer going to hold our sins against. Does he literally forget them? No. God knows all things. It's impossible for him to forget anything. But he does not hold it against us anymore. All right? So, like I said, we do the same thing. And in fact, this is what God calls us to do. You hear talk about, well, we need to forgive and forget. We need to forgive and forget. Now, forgiving is difficult. We have to work on that. But forgetting is almost impossible. But God means it in this context. Don't hold people accountable anymore for the way they've hurt you, for the way they've sinned against you. That's what forgiveness means. All right? A quote from In Light of Eternity. It says, in eternity, past sins and sufferings won't plague us, nor interfere with God's acceptance of us. We won't dwell on them. All right? So, the context of Isaiah 65:16, and looking at Jeremiah 31:34, it makes it clear that God's not talking about literally forgetting these things, but that they will no longer have any significance. They will no longer have any weight. He will not hold our sins against us. But also in comparison with other Bible teaching, as far as, you know, what will we remember, or will we remember anything? Comparison with other Bible teaching, that's the other bullet point on your note sheet there. Other passages teach that we will remember at least some things from this life. Now, I am not trying to propose to you that we're going to remember everything from this life. Only God remembers everything. And I'm not going to try to tell you, well, we are going to remember this, we aren't going to remember this. Well, I'm just saying we will remember some things. Number one, under that point, there are memorials in heaven. There are memorials in heaven. Now, what's the point of a memorial? To help us remember. So if God's not going to let us remember anything, why would there be memorials? Just a couple of examples. In Revelation 12, verses 12 to 14, it says the gates of the city that God is creating that we're going to live in, the New Jerusalem. It says the gates have the names of the 12 apostles, the foundations, the 12 tribes. We're going to walk through and say, oh, there's a gate. It's named after Peter. I wonder who Peter was. No, we're going to know those things. All right. We're going to know those things. It's a memorial. God named those gates and those foundations from the 12 tribes, from the 12 apostles as memorials to men of faith, men God used to establish his people, both Old Testament and New Testament. You know, it's a very interesting story in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29, when Jesus appears to his disciples and after his resurrection, and 10 of them are there. Judas is not there because he's gone. But Thomas is not there either. Well, after Jesus leaves, Thomas shows up. We don't know if he went out to get, you know, to pick up pizza or whatever, but he comes back and the other 10 disciples say, hey, Jesus was here. And he says, yeah, right. Now that's not in the Greek, but that's a paraphrase. All right. Yeah, right. No, there's no way. It's, no, really, Jesus is risen. He was here. He says, that can't be. He says, there's no way I would believe unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints of his hands and my hand in his side. And a week later, Jesus shows up again and Thomas is there. And Jesus says, look, Thomas, here they are. Jesus still has the nail prints. He still had the wound in his side. He says, put your fingers in, put your hand. And Thomas didn't. It's like he believed. He just fell on his face, worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, blessed are those who believe without seeing. But the point is, why does Jesus still have the nail prints? Why does he still have the wound in his side? It's a memorial to remember what he went through for us. I believe he still has those. I believe he will have those throughout eternity to remind us. And you could probably go through Scripture and Revelation, find all kinds of things that are there to help us remember either important aspects of God's salvation plan or important things about our own personal lives. And then number two, we find examples that we will remember the good things we did and experienced. We will remember the good things we did and experienced. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, this is again a vision from heaven. It says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride. Now, who's his bride? Who's Jesus' bride? The church. We are. So the church has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Now, how that all works out, I don't know, but the garments that we're wearing, whether it's symbolic or whatever, it represents the good things that we did in this life. So when we gather together to celebrate that the end has come and we're now with Jesus, the marriage supper of the Lamb, back to that eating thing again. Our garments will be reminders of the good that we did in life. Yes, no, we'll be cleansed. We'll be sinless, but it is not a sin to remember. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to remember all of our sins. In fact, we're going to get to that here in a moment, okay? But just because we remember something doesn't mean that's still a part of us. In other words, it would be possible to remember what we had done wrong, remember our sins without us being sinful. You see what I'm saying? Because it's just a memory. It is not an activity. But that's a good point to think of. And again, I'm not trying to say we will remember everything or whatever. I'm just trying to lay some foundations here. But at least in this point, we're going to remember the good because God wants us to. He wants us to remember it so much that it's going to be part, however it works out, spiritually, physically, part of our clothing. It's always there before us. Another passage is Revelation 14:13. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. What does it mean their deeds follow them? It means that we'll remember them. It means that we'll be rewarded for them. It means that they'll be a part of our experience in heaven because they go with us. All right? The Bible says we will receive rewards and positions of authority in heaven. And on what basis will we receive these things? The good things we did on earth. So it makes sense that we will remember them. The last note there under that question is this. Memory is a basic element of personality. Since we will be truly us in heaven, we're not going to be somebody else in heaven, we're going to be us. Since we will be truly us in heaven, there must be some, at least some, continuity of memory from here to there. If God gave us a new body and a new mind in the sense that we could remember nothing from us, it wouldn't be us in heaven. I mean, seriously, if we don't have the same body, okay, God says the resurrected body is the same body, but it's been resurrected and glorified without the imperfections, without the sickness and all that kind of stuff. If we don't have the same body and we don't have the same mind, we're not us. But it's us he has saved. It's us he has redeemed to live forever with him. And memory is a part of who we are. Okay. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to remember everything, but at least we can see from this that there are some things we will remember. Now let's deal with the second question. Will we remember everything? I mean, it's easier to see, well, okay, we'll remember the good times. We remember the good things. We remember God's goodness. We remember the times that we followed God and maybe we did some good things, but it was only because God gave us the ability. But what about the bad things? What about sin? What about all this? Would that somehow, as Earl said, if we remember sin, would that make us sinful? And I personally believe that remembering sin would not make us sinful. It's only if we acted out that sin. But that's a good question. Okay. So let me ask this question before you. What are some things that you would expect or hope to forget in heaven? Our sin would probably be one. You know, Earl mentioned that. And who wants to be reminded of all their mistakes, right? It's like, when we get to heaven, remind me of all the good stuff I did, but don't remind me of what I did wrong. All right? What else are some things that we might want to forget? Egbert. Jesus has already paid for our sins. So in that sense, they are not held against us. But that brings up a good question. Will they ever be brought up in any form once we leave this life? Because Jesus already paid the price. They've already been forgiven. Will God at all bring up the mistakes we've made? Or will he only bring up the good things we've done so he can reward us for them? That's one of the questions we'll answer yet tonight, too. Good point. Good point. What are some other things that we might would want to forget? Okay. You're actually getting into some of the stuff we're going to get into a little bit later on. But it would be very easy to think that, well, I want to forget the things that have brought me pain. I want to forget about the things that have hurt me. But those of us who perhaps who are a little older and gone through some more, which would be most all of us in this room, there are those things, as we mentioned a little while ago, that perhaps brought us great pain and hurt us and difficulties, maybe even mistakes that we have made and sins we've committed, that now that we've gotten to this point, we look back and see that not that God caused us to sin or wanted us to sin or anything, but he has used it in our life in such a way that he's brought great good out of it. Okay. And Ray just said there's some painful experiences she's been through that she, looking back now, would not change. Not that you'd want to go through it again, but now that you've been through it and you see what God's brought out of it, it no longer has that pain. So Ray said specifically, maybe we'll remember some of the negative things, but they will no longer be painful. That's a significant point. We're going to come back to that. Okay. How about people that we've known in this life that don't know the Lord? And we know they won't be with us. That'd be something that might be like, I would not want to think about that. I would not want to remember that. I would not want to think that I have a loved one or someone else who is not in heaven, but they're in hell. Good point there. So, well, let's go on here. And the first question is this. Will we remember people who have gone to hell? Now, I don't have a definite answer to this. But I will say this. When you read the story in Luke chapter 16... verses 19 to 31, it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus told this story. There was a rich man. He had everything he could possibly want. He feasted. He had power, wealth, everything else. There was a poor man named Lazarus who was very sick. He begged for his sustenance. Even at the gate of the rich man, the dogs would come and lick his wounds. And the rich man would give him the crumbs off of his table. And Jesus said he died. The rich man went to hell. The poor man Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which was paradise, would become heaven. But they were both aware of each other. The rich man was aware of those that were in heaven, the people in heaven or in paradise. Abraham, Lazarus were aware of the rich man. Okay. And we find there that this did not in any way cause paradise to cease to be paradise for Lazarus and Abraham. Now, the only truth we can really draw from this, because we don't know, is what I put on your note sheet. God and his angels know about hell and the people in it. But this does not cause heaven to cease to be heaven for them. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic on this because I don't think the Bible is. Will God allow us not to remember loved ones, friends, whatever, who have gone to hell? Very possibly. But if we do remember them, I go back to what Ray said, and I believe it with all my heart, that it will not bring us pain and sorrow. You say, well, how could that be? I don't know. I'm just saying. We know there will be no more sorrow and pain and mourning in heaven. So if we are going to at all remember anything about anybody who didn't make it, it will not bring us pain and sorrow. So that's a good point for thinking, well, maybe we won't remember them. But I can't tell you for sure one way or the other. Other than the fact in this story, they were aware of each other's presence. And it didn't cause paradise or heaven to cease being heaven or vice versa. Norris. It's a very good point. That goes along with what Ray said, too. And I'm not going to repeat it for the recording because we're actually going to go there. We're going to use that as an example. Very good, Norris. That's very good. Joseph is a great example. All the evil that was done to Joseph, Joseph said, hey, God meant it for good. We're going to go there here in just a second. So let's go on to the second thing here under will we remember everything? And that question is, will we remember the negative things of this life? It's not difficult to think of we'll remember the good things, the positive things, but will we remember the negative things in this life? Well, the first subpoint, the first bullet is this. We will give an account for every aspect of our lives. It goes back to what Tim said earlier. We will give an account for everything, every aspect of our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, and Paul's talking to believers here. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, please understand, this is not saying that as believers, we'll stand after death or at the end of time before Jesus Christ to determine whether we'll get into heaven. That's already been decided because it's not based on us. It's not based on what we've done. It's based on what Jesus did. And if we're trusting in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, it doesn't matter what we've done or not done. We're going to heaven. That's what grace and mercy is all about. But this judgment seat is to say, what did you do with what God gave you? And it has to do with our rewards, what our experience of heaven will be. And it says he's going to look at the good and the evil. So this would seem to indicate that at least at the beginning at some point, we will remember the bad too because it's going to be a part of our judgment process. But the judgment is not something that lasts forever. It's something that happens, it's done, it's over, and then we go and experience heaven. So it might be the thing that we will have memory of it at the beginning for the judgment, but then God will wipe it from our minds. And maybe not, we don't know for sure, but at least at the beginning we will remember those things. But thank God they won't be held against us because they've been forgiven. Okay? It just has something to do with what would be rewarded for or not receive reward. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. Now, I want to be very quick to say, he may only be talking about unbelievers here. But he does say everyone. But that may be part of the process also. But I want you to also think about this. Maybe if you think back to your own childhood, if you don't think back to your own child, but think back to one of your children as they were growing up, a time when they were very disobedient and did something bad. I mean, really bad. And at the time, it was a big deal. But now you look back at it, and not that you treat it lightly or you make fun of it or you're glad they did it, but it's not really that big a deal anymore. In fact, you may even talk about it at times, like, you remember that one time that I did this? It's like, yeah, that was serious, but you know what? We've gotten beyond that. God's forgiven it. We've forgiven it. It no longer brings pain, but at the time it was a big deal. There's a possibility that may be true of the sin in our lives too. We may remember, going back to what Earl had asked, we may remember the sin that we did, but because of God's mercy and grace. And in fact, just the opposite may be true. In remembering our sin, it may bring such joy to us because it shows how much God loved us and how much he forgave us of. So that's something to think about. Again, I'm not trying to say that we will or we won't remember our sin because I don't know. But I can see it both ways, okay? And we're going to get to some biblical assurances by the end that we can put our firm foundation on. But that's one of those things, don't know, okay? Now let's go on to some other negative things that we might remember. Second bullet point here is the martyrs in heaven remember what was done to them on earth. What is a martyr? Someone who gives their life because of their faith, okay? The title martyr literally means witness. But it was a term that was used and has always been used for someone who lost their life because they took a stand for their faith. What more powerful witness is someone who's willing to die for what they believe about God, about Jesus Christ? So there's a vision of martyrs in heaven. They are in heaven. Okay? They've already died because they were killed for their faith. They are in heaven, but they remember what was done to them. They remember that they lost their lives for the sake of Christ. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It says, when he, talking about Jesus, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves have been. Now, this is in heaven now or into the future before the end of time. So it may be that until God puts everything to the end that people remember things. But then after that, they won't. Don't know for sure. But at least at that point, the people that have been put to death for their faith, they remember it. But they're still in heaven. They're still experiencing heaven. But they do remember what happened to them on the earth. And they're also aware that God has not yet fully avenged their death in righteous judgment, taking care of that. It's like, well, how long before you take care of this, God? And not griping, not complaining, but Lord, how much longer? And he says, it'll be taken care of. We have to wait until full plans, full things are taken care of. But in heaven, they remember what was done to them. So this passage would seem to argue against the idea that to remember any unpleasant things would automatically strip us of happiness in heaven. Okay? All right. The next one here, next bullet point there, the third one. In heaven, we will be comforted for the bad things we endured on earth. In heaven, we'll be comforted. And that's one of the things we look forward to. The comfort that we will receive. In that parable, that story Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:25, it says, "But Abraham said to the rich man in hell, 'Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish.'" Well, how can we be comforted for something that we don't remember? There's a certain aspect to where we remember the negative things in this life, that when we receive the comfort wouldn't mean much if we didn't remember the negative things. Okay, so again, not saying every little detail, don't know what details we will know, which ones we won't, but it says that we will be comforted for those negative things. The next bullet point here. The good that we experience in heaven will make the negatives of earth seem of little consequence. You know, we experience things in this earth, on this earth, that are very difficult, that are very painful, that are very rough. But when we get to heaven and the good that God has planned for us there, we might very well remember every detail of that and think, that wasn't that big of a deal. It was here, but up there it'll be like, oh, in light of eternity, in light of God's glory, His love, His mercy, His grace, His goodness toward us, that's not that big a deal. In fact, we have specific scriptures to say that. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time..." And remember, Paul suffered a lot more than probably we ever will. He says, "But I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." He says, it's going to be so good that the bad of this life will be like, no big deal. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. So again, Paul writing, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction..." And this is from a man who was stoned to death, and God raised him up. He was stoned several times. He was in prison several times. He was shipwrecked a couple times. Spent a whole night and day in the sea. He says, these light momentary troubles... He already began to have a heavenly perspective. But he said, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. In other words, all the bad things we've been through, it's like a feather compared to this weight of glory that God has for us. Not just God's glory, but the glory He has for us. The good, the rewards, the experience that we're going to have in God's presence. Beyond all comparisons. In fact, it's so different, you can't even begin to compare it. It's not just light and heavy. I mean, it's just so different. It's like it's not even in the same categories. You can't compare it. Beyond all comparison. "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal." You know, Jesus even gave an illustration of this. And you ladies, at least some of you ladies will relate to this. And that is the joy of birth. The joy of birth does not erase the memory of pain, but it does take away its sting. Jesus said in John 16:21, "When a woman is given birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." I mean, how many times have women in the middle of the process said, "I will never do this again, and I can't believe you did this to me," talking to her husband? And maybe even feel a little bit like that for a couple days or weeks afterwards, but then eventually said, "Let's have another baby." Maybe said it more times than the husband wanted her to say that. But anyway, because of the joy, right? The pain, it's not significant anymore. The pain was significant. I've never experienced it, but I believe you. I don't want to experience it. The pain was significant, but when that baby came, it didn't matter anymore. And it could be the same thing about the painful things in this life. In fact, the last subpoint on your sheet actually adds to this, builds upon this. Memory of negative things will enhance rather than dampen our joy. Whatever God might let us remember, and I'm not even making a statement about what He will, what He won't, but if He allows us, if we do, I think we will, whatever we remember, the memory of the negative things will enhance rather than dampen our joy. And this goes back to what Ray said earlier and a couple of others of you have mentioned. Have you ever experienced something bad that you later on looked at it and were glad it happened? Not that you wanted to go through it again, but because of the good that came out of it, it's like it was worth it. Don't you think heaven could be that way? We could get there. We could remember the difficult things of this life, but it not bring pain because the end result was joy. All right. And it goes back to the thing of childbirth. It's a good example. But going back to what Nora said before, the example of Joseph, you know, Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. And the only reason they didn't is they found out they could make a buck off of him. They sold him into slavery. And through a lot of heart, and it wasn't just that Joseph went into slavery, then was raised up to be second in command of Egypt. He was falsely accused of rape and thrown in prison. I mean, he went through a lot of difficulty before he was raised up. And when he and his brothers finally got back together, his brothers are scared to death because of Joseph's position. He's going to have him put to death. Joseph says, no, I forgive you. And then when their dad dies, they think, well, he probably only said that because our dad was still alive. Now he's dead. He's really going to get us. So they come back again and say, Joseph, we're so sorry. He says, listen, I told you once already. I've forgiven you. But what he actually says in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And in heaven, we'll be able to see exactly how God did that. Now, there's this little joke that kind of gets this point across, not totally, about a man that sees another man and keeps hitting his thumb with a hammer deliberately. And he says, why do you keep hitting yourself with that hammer? He says, because it feels so good when I stop. Now, that's not what heaven's going to be like, but it illustrates the point. When you've been through pain, when it's over, it feels so good. But when you've been through painful, difficult circumstances and good comes out of it, okay? See, you remember that point. All right. When good comes out of it, it takes the pain away. It takes the pain away. It's just like fasting. God leads you to fast. You fast for a day. You fast for 2 days. You fast for 3 days. When you get back to eating, it tastes good, doesn't it? You know, it enhances it. And in the same way, the troubles we go through may enhance the joy we have in heaven. In fact, would we have as much joy if we didn't remember any of the sins that God had forgiven or any of the difficulties he brought us through? I mean, we'd still have joy being in God's presence. I don't doubt that at all. But I believe our joy will be enhanced because we see how God brought us through and how he brought good out of it. If we do not remember the painful things of earth, would this diminish the love we have for God and the thankfulness we will have for his protection, provision, and help through the difficulties? When we see our hard times from an eternal perspective, they could very well be the things that we most greatly rejoice over. Jesus said something similar in Matthew 5, 11 to 12. He says, blessed are you. He says, you guys are really blessed. You should be happy. When others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it is possible for difficulties and the memory of difficulties to bring great joy. We experience it in this life. Why would we not experience that in heaven? Again, I'm not trying to say exactly what God will allow us to remember, what he won't, but we don't need to just rule out anything just because, well, you know, that would take it away from being in heaven, because we don't know that. Let me read another quote, and then we're going to wrap this up. Recalling our earthly troubles and sorrows would not depress us, but deepen the joys of heaven. As darkness brings out the glory of light, this contrast would be lost if our former sorrows and sinful state were literally forgotten. So let me wrap it up with this. Will we remember all the negative of this world? I don't know. But we'll probably remember at least some of it, maybe even a lot of it. But whatever we do remember will have a positive effect on our experience of heaven, not a negative one. So we don't need to worry. Because remember what we said last week, it says that in the presence of God, there is joy and pleasure forevermore. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to look at your word tonight. And God, I for one am glad to know that when I go to heaven, it's not like I'm not going to remember anything about this earth, but I'm still going to be who I am. And Lord, your goodness will be even more real, and your joy and the pleasures that there are to be in your presence are going to be very, very, very real. And that even the difficulties we go through this life, whatever you allow us to remember, it will not cause any pain or sorrow. Your word makes that very clear. Father, thank you that that's what you have prepared for us. I pray, dear God, that as we go forward, not only in this series, but in our lives, that we would hold on to that hope. And it's a hope in the sense that you said it's going to happen, so it will, but we can't wait for it to happen. And we're looking forward to it happening. But that when we get to heaven, all the sorrow, all the pain's gone. And whatever we do remember or don't remember, it will be joy forevermore. We thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.